Welcome to the Coin Podcast Network. From getting to work and school, to getting outside and away from it all, weather impacts everything we do. And meteorologist Kelly Bayern wants to help you understand it all.
And a look at some stats over the...
From Portland's most accurate forecast team, this is your weather.
This November has delivered buckets of snowfall to the Oregon Cascades. And since November 7th, Mount Hood Meadows has accumulated about 40 inches of new snow. That's pretty early to see in the season, too. Normally, Mount Hood doesn't start building its snowpack until the end of the month. Local resorts like Mount Hood Meadows always sets a goal to open for preview ski days right around the Thanksgiving holiday. Pairing turkey and mashed potatoes with a side of skiing is a typical Pacific Northwest move. So will we get to do that this year? And how will our COVID-19 pandemic affect the operations on the mountain? In today's podcast, I'll chat with Dave Tregathon, the Vice President of All Things Marketing and Communications on Mount Hood Meadows. We'll talk about the way they'll handle the mass of people hoping to escape to the mountains this season. And Dave, a huge ski buff like me, is hopeful that our La Niña winter to come will deliver a phenomenal ski season. Here's our conversation back in early November.
Hey, Kelly.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
I'm so glad to speak with you. It's been a long time. How are you?
Doing awesome. Getting ready.
Yeah, I bet it's going to be a fairly busy season. I have so many questions to ask you about, your operations, but also how great it is that we're seeing a La Niña winter. So I know the season kind of cut off short last year in March, right when COVID took off and really ramped up. I know I was excited to go a few more times. And I think my last time up there was in February. So I was hoping through March, April, we'd get some nice skiing, but the snow was okay. So how did the season shape up last year, even though not many folks were on the mountains, but how did it shape up in your eyes?
Yeah, it was an abrupt ending to what was going to be a great season, because we ended up getting more snow, even on the very weekend that we announced that we were suspending operations.
Yeah.
It happened so fast. On the Friday going into the weekend, it was either the 13th or the 14th, we put out a blog and told everybody that our plan was to continue operations with social distancing sanitation. And we didn't have a lot of the real protocols in place that we have now, understanding the way that the virus is transmitted so much better now than we did then. But that was Friday. And then on Saturday, we reversed everything and said, tomorrow's our last day. And, we're going to be suspending operations for a week to get a better handle on the situation. And then at the end of that week, around the 22nd or 23rd of March, we made the very difficult decision that we were going to suspend operations for the rest of the season. So,
yeah. So I know Timberline opened back up. Was that after you guys had closed too? And did you have any thoughts about like their operations and if that was maybe a bad choice with the pandemic in motion, or what were your thoughts on that?
No, we were very, very glad that Timberline was able to come up with a plan for reducing the risk of transmission and still allowing people the opportunity to get up and get some turns in. In fact, our industry needed those different ski areas. They did that down in California. There was a ski area that continued operations, I think, in the April timeframe, and then Timberline, and then, of course, the whole Southern Hemisphere. We learned a lot from ski areas operating in New Zealand and Australia about some of the best protocols for being able to manage visitation and access and the indoor experience versus the outdoor experience, and how all of that could be put together to have, what is as normal of an experience as possible.
Yeah.
So I know Timberline learned a lot. The industry learned a lot from them. And the one thing that I think you're going to find in our industry and on Mount Hood and the ski areas in Oregon that are operating, we're operating in a very unified way.
Yeah.
We all want people to wear masks when they come to the mountain. We all want people to socially distance themselves. We all want people to be thinking about using their vehicle as a lodge and, you know, put their boots on in their vehicle, bring a picnic lunch or get some grab and go and eat back at their vehicle, spend as much time outdoors enjoying, you know, the skiing and the snowboarding and cross-country skiing or snowshoeing, but reduce the amount of time that's spent indoors. Because okay. if there's anything that we've learned about this virus, it's much more likely to be transmitted indoors in crowded, enclosed spaces, particularly if you're not wearing a mask. So, you know, beauty of skiing and snowboarding and riding lifts, it's all done outdoors.
Mm-hmm. So what will skiers notice then on Mountain Meadows this year? Will there be less restaurants open indoors? Will there be less seating available? Will there be more distancing just in general for the bathrooms and then the ski lift lines as well? Can you kind of describe how the operations will go this year?
Sure. You know, the way that we are approaching managing our access to the mountain, both the volume and the flow, is we're renewing last year's season pass holders because we made a commitment to everybody who had a pass last year that they could renew by November 8th and get the credit that we offered them. And then we're also selling a limited amount of new all access passes for this year. And based on how many passes we sell, we will forecast what daily turnout is going to be from pass holders. And then we will determine how many day tickets we're going to make available on any given day. And in fact, those tickets are going to have different start times, a 9 o'clock start time, a noon, a 2, and a 5 o'clock start time on those evenings that we have night operations. And this is all done so that we can better manage both the amount of people who are coming to the mountain, but also the time of arrival and the flow of coming into the parking lot and coming into our lodges and when they're going to be hitting the lifts. All of that is going to be factored into the modeling that we've put together on how we're going to manage it through the lift tickets and passes. What people are going to notice, if they want a ski lesson or if they want equipment rentals, they're going to have to purchase those in advance. You're just not going to see the opportunity to walk up and say, "Hey, I want to learn to ski today," because we will not have your equipment set up for you. We may not have an instructor that's there to be able to teach you. So go to our website, skihood.com. You can purchase your lessons. You can purchase your rentals. Do that all in advance. And as far as the indoor experience goes at Meadows, we will actually have a ton more space this year than we've ever had before because Sahali is opening.
Oh,
and
yeah?
that's a 23,000 square foot building. The bottom floor is for skier services. It's going to be our Meadows Learning Center and the rental center. And the upper floor is 10,000 square feet of additional dining space with three new restaurants, the Sahali Grill, which is a scramble style grill, the Bullwheel Bar, which unfortunately this is the year that we don't want people sitting around shooting the bull in the Bullwheel Bar for hours and hours, but it's still going to be a great place for people to be served a nice refreshment either out on the deck or into the building itself. And if you do come into the bar, you're going to love the fireplace and the historic photos that we have put together to celebrate running lifts on Mount Hood at Mounted Meadows. And then Wildflowers Cafe, and there's a gigantic waterfall room that people are going to be able to sit in. The HVAC system in Sahali, state of the art, that is going to be refreshing the air, turning over the air 5 to 6 times an hour. There's also a deck. So we do have space for people to sit inside, plus all of the second level of the North and South lodges now are also going to be available for seating. We still have the Alpenstube. We still have the Shush. We still have Fresh Tracked Deli. We still have the Mazo up on the mountain. We still have a food cart down at Herm. And we've got the Renaissance Cafe at Herm. So the idea is to spread people out. If they have to eat inside, we've got places for that. But we're going to encourage that they turn over quickly and then go back outside again. Mm-hmm. And a lot of take and go. So if people want to grab it, they can go outside, eat, take it back to their car and eat. I think we've addressed this really well. And what a great year to have 23,000 additional square footage of space up at Mounted Meadows.
I remember seeing that building, you know, in construction at the end of last season. So that is great to see it up and running for this season. And it really does seem like it wasn't a case of whether you guys had opened, but you've had months of research looking at, you know, the Southern Hemisphere countries and how they're running their ski lifts to really prep for this season within COVID. So, you know, just hearing you talk, I do feel safe going skiing this season, and I can't wait to get up there. So,
you know, one other thing that people are going to notice, shuttling is going to be a little bit different this year.
Okay.
Basically, our capacities on our shuttles are going to be about half of what they normally are. And the shuttles that we'll be running are between lots. If you're parking in the main parking lot, not that much of a difference from previous experience, other than we won't be shuttling out of our main lot. So you'll be able to walk up to the lodge, walk up to the lifts, get on the lift if you're going direct to lift with your reload pass or with your season pass. Mm-hmm. But if you do have to park in a remote lot, either our Sunrise lot or down in the Herm lot, and you have passengers or yourself needs equipment, you've got a reservation for equipment through the rental center or a ski school lesson, what we're doing is we're creating an enhanced drop-off area. So the driver of the vehicle can drop off their passengers, and then the driver goes to a remote lot, gets shuttled back. Yeah. That way, instead of having to shuttle 2, 3, 4 people per vehicle, we're only shuttling the driver. Meanwhile, everybody else is getting set up with your equipment, and that will get everybody up on the mountain quicker.
Yeah.
So be looking for that if you're coming up on some of those busy days after our main lot is already full.
Very cool. So I know, I mean, this year is La Nina. We've kind of discussed it a little bit here on COIN. And, you know, historically speaking, the stats show above normal snow for the last, you know, 7 to 8 La Nina seasons here since the 2000s. So it does look like, you know, we have really good odds for a lot of powder this season. So with that in mind, and also within the pandemic, folks are just itching to get outside. Skiing is a great way to naturally socially distance from folks and also get some skiing in, you know, and have some fun. Do you anticipate your reservation system will work well? Do you think a lot of folks will miss reservations and not be able to actually reserve ski times? Do you think you'll run out of passes on a daily basis? Have you thought about that at all?
Yeah, we have. And in fact, our system is on-demand, basically. We have dynamic ticket pricing, and it is designed to sell out on certain timeframes that we expect the most people to be coming. Yeah. That's why that 9 o'clock start or noon start or 2 o'clock start, 5 o'clock start is so important, because, you know, if we're expecting a big day, and we can easily anticipate weekends and holidays because we have a lot of history there. We need to be looking at the weather forecast. We need to be looking at any type of sustained storm and what that means, because, you know, in the middle of a storm, we may not have our upper lips available. That makes a smaller footprint, you know, that people are going to be able to enjoy. That may actually limit, we'll have to limit even more the amount of tickets that would be available on a day like that. So I'm actually more concerned about the big deep powder Tuesday in the middle of January than I am about managing the peak days, you know, the weekends and holidays, because those are a lot easier to anticipate. But, you know, La Nina does have a tendency to drive a consistent weather pattern, especially, you know, from the middle of December and oftentimes right into the middle of February. The most ideal situation for us this year would be consistency.
Yes.
And by that, I mean, you know, we've had seasons, and our best seasons have been when every week there seems to be some good accumulation. And the reason that's important is because it's not the one freak day out of the last month that I finally get to powder ski. You know, if that happens and then it's another, you know, month before I get to powder ski, those days just become unbearable. But if we get some good consistent La Nina snow, and it's like, yeah, we had a good powder day a couple of days ago. We had a good powder day a couple of days ago. Then that prevents everybody crunching in for that best condition. So
I think maybe some folks are scarred from the last couple of seasons. We did see some great powder events, but then it did seem like they were far and few in between. We would maybe go a week or two before we saw another big system that got everybody excited. But in the middle of that, you know, it was a little bit tougher skiing, a little more icy patches out there. So I think in La Nina winters, we tend to get more systems just on a more consistent basis dropping in from the north.
Yeah.
Hopefully that does provide a good consistent season where it doesn't give these periods in a month where people just, you know, get excited about that one event. They're all crowding around those dates. And then in between, it's not as great. So,
you know, neutral seasons or even the light El Nino, like we came through this last year,
right,
they do tend to be a little more erratic. And, mm-hmm. you know, you can have some extreme events. What we really look at is where's that freezing level? If we can keep the freezing level low, then the storm recovery is a lot easier. But when you see, like, you know, what's happening consistently last year, a storm would come in at a certain level and then rise up.
Yeah.
And then drop down again.
Right.
And our upper lips are right in that freezing zone. And so they would literally ice up on the way up and then ice up on the way down. And we'd have caked ice, rime ice and hard ice on our upper lips, and literally 6 inches to up to 2 feet of ice having to be removed from the lift before we could operate it. And that happens because of the freezing level going up and down. And if we, La Nina is supposed to be cooler, which would be awesome.
Yeah.
We keep it below the freezing level, then it's basically a snow event and it's a lot easier to recover after a storm. Mm-hmm. Be great if we had a lot of cold storms come in that way this year.
Yeah, hopefully that's the case. I mean, I'm feeling pretty good about La Nina. Just, you know, just give some good feelings. And also just everything you've kind of mentioned about your COVID protocols, it seems like the season will be great. Hopefully not too hard to get up to the mountains when there are some busier moments or, you know, around the holidays. So hopefully a lot of folks can enjoy the season this year.
And with the managing the flow and the visitation at Meadows, the volume of people, and staggering those arrival times through mm-hmm. our dynamic ticketing, we actually can relieve a lot of that early morning pressure where everybody was trying to find a parking space between 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. But
there's only going to be so many lift tickets. So what everybody needs to get on the same page as us with is, first and foremost, if you don't already have a season pass or a lift ticket that is valid for the time that you want to come up, don't come up.
Yes.
Go online, take a look at what the next available lift ticket is if you want to come up today. If you miss the 9 o'clock, there'll be some at noon. If you miss the noon, there'll be some at two. If you miss today, they'll be there for tomorrow.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the way that we're going to be managing our access. And so if you don't already have your ticket, don't come up until you get your ticket.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is just know our protocols. Yes, we want everybody to wear a face mask. Yes, we want everybody to social distance. Yes, we're going to provide helpful reminders. And our team will be as smiling as they possibly can behind their mask and encouraging our guests to do the same. You know, this will be the season that we all need to be very patient and very kind.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do that, we're all going to get our turns in.
Yeah, that is a really good philosophy to have there. Mm-hmm. And it seems like you guys just have a really solid plan where you are very much focusing on the safety of everybody who wants to come out and ski. So yeah, very exciting. Is there anything else you want to add?
There's a kind of a nationwide campaign that is put together by a National Skiers Association called Ski Well, Be Well. And it talks about the different protocols and safety measures that the ski industry is coming out with and the way that we're operating, best practices and such. But the bottom line on that is they want people to be the reason to have a season. In other words, don't be the reason why we end our season.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're a small community. You know, those that love to go up and ski and snowboard at ski areas, we consider our team to be precious, because without our team, we can't continue to operate a ski area. Our guests need to understand that. And that's why we're going to be so emphatic about following our safety measures and procedures and wear the mask and socially distance and, you know, have a good time. But we just can't put ourselves in a position where all of a sudden, imagine if our ski patrol had some sort of a infectious outbreak in their department, or our lift ops had some sort of an infectious outbreak. And we're doing everything we can to protect our team members when they are at work. We really need our guests to cooperate so that we can continue to operate as much of our ski area in these challenging times as possible.
Mm-hmm. Those are all really good words there. One more question about masks in general. Mm-hmm. So when I know when I ski, I do wear a ski mask, but that is different than some of those cloth masks that we wear. So are you suggesting that everyone wears both or have both, you know, one in the pocket, you can wear your ski mask outside?
Research out there right now regarding different types of face masks or cloth coverings. The best is the N95 if it's fitted correctly. Then there's the KN95s. And then it gets into the three-ply cloth masks or surgical masks actually after that. And then the three-ply cloth mask is about as effective as a surgical mask. Two-ply a little less. And even gaiters, particularly if they are two-ply, you know, and you could pull a gaiter up and fold it over, is providing almost as much protection as a three-ply cloth mask. Okay. So, you know, just be cautious and aware of the people that are around you. Like if I'm riding up a lift with you, I'm not going to be screaming at my friends and yelling at the top of my lungs and yodeling. I'm probably not even going to strike up a conversation with you if you're not in my party. I'm going to feel comfortable riding up a lift because our lift rides are 5 to 8 minutes. You move pretty fast through the air. There's a breeze. You're not getting a lot of exposure to me. I'm not getting a lot of exposure to you, especially if I'm not face to face. So, you know, I'm probably going to sit on the left side if I can, then I'm going to be looking over on the left and that's where I'm going to be breathing. You'd be on the right side, breathe over here. For those people that want to have their own, to be seated on a chair just by themselves or with their party, we'll accommodate that. That would be great. Mm-hmm. But you know, as far as the face coverings go, particularly when you're outdoors, I think it's pretty easy. People are already, I dressed like that last year, primarily because I'm trying to protect myself from the sun. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I already put my gaiter up. I already had it covering my face. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's a big step for people that are, you know, enjoying the outdoors already.
Yeah. And already skiing too, yeah. Specifically. Awesome. Well, that was very, very great to hear. It was very clarifying, you know, it cleared out a lot of things that I had questions about. Is there anything else you wanted to add? Otherwise, I think that is all for now.
Yeah. You know? All this information can be found on our website, skihood.com. And again, right. You know, visit it in advance, know what we're doing, get to know our plan, and then follow it when you come up. And that's a great season.
Well, I can't wait. Do you think we will have some snow before Thanksgiving? Do you think you will open by Thanksgiving?
I am so impressed by our snow harvesting teams that have put together our snow harvesters. I think that you know, we're looking for at least preview days by around the Thanksgiving timeframe. That's made largely because of our ability to harvest parking lot snow and get at least a certain amount of the mountain ready. We've advanced that technology. We now have 3 snow cats with buckets on them instead of just 2. So I give us as good of a chance of anybody to have that opening. But as far as getting the entire mountain open and be able to operate all of our lifts and get to that, you know, 100% open, that's really up to La Nina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we can cross our fingers. I know last year was my first time actually trekking over to the Vista side. I had never actually been over there and it was wonderful. So
Seymour hangs out over there.
Yeah, he does. He does. I have met Seymour. He's a good guy. Yeah. So I am so excited for the season. It was great to talk to you. Thank you so much for all the information. And we will direct people to skihood.com and all the information there. And take care, Dave. Thank you.
Thanks, Kelly. We'll see you on the mountain. And everybody watching the coin camera because that's Mount Hood Meadows you see on those weathercasts.
We share that quite often. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Dave. Have a good one.
Bye, Kelly.
Thank you for listening to the Coin Podcast Network. You can listen to more great Coin podcasts on coin.com/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Please listen, download, subscribe, and review.